Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. I would like you please to open your Bibles. We are continuing in our study in the book of Philippians. So please open the book of Philippians. And the chapter that we are dealing with today is Philippians chapter 2. And we are going to read from verse 12 to verse 30. Let me read this passage. If you follow me, please. And let's see what the Lord has to teach us. Very important chapter here in Philippians chapter 2. So Paul, Shaul, is writing and he's telling now to the Philippians, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Messiah, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus the Messiah. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." And I'm stopping here at the end of the second chapter of Philippians. You remember, brothers and sisters, that when the Apostle Paul, when Shaul wrote this letter to the brethren in Philippi, he was in prison in Rome. What a sight to see. Here is a man that is in prison writing to believers at the city of Philippi because apparently he received a report that there was a problem in this local assembly. And we saw already in the first chapter of the book that he was greeting them that he actually was telling them a little bit about himself and about the fact that he was in bonds. You remember what he said in chapter 1 and verse 7? Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as in that as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. He's writing to them and he says, listen, even though you are having a fellowship with me, you are partakers in my grace, even though I am right now in prison in Rome. And in the second chapter, of course, he was writing the second point that he wanted to mention to them. And in the second chapter, we said that in the second chapter, the theme is Yeshua as our example. As chapter 1, Yeshua showed his humility and he became the believer's life. But in chapter 2, Yeshua is the one that become for the believer as the example. And it is so wonderful to see how much example our Lord Yeshua the Messiah have been for us in his life and his death, in his humiliation when he died for us on the tree. And so chapter 2, in the first 11 verses which we have covered in a previous ministry meeting, he have set before the brothers and sisters in the first 11 verses the fact that Yeshua became an example to the believers. And you remember in the first 4 verses, he wanted them to fulfill his joy to be like-minded, verse 2, to have the same love one towards another, and to be of one accord and of one mind. You remember this is verse 2 of Philippians chapter 2. He says, let nothing be done through strife, verse 3, vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look at the standard that the believers are called to live their lives. Why? Because if we don't have others on our mind, if we don't have others to esteem others higher, if we esteem only ourselves and exalt ourselves, we cannot be a help to others. And the whole thought here in the second chapter is the importance of Yeshua the Messiah to be for us as an example. He's our life in chapter 1 and he's our example in chapter 2. And so, in verses 5 to 11, we talked about the humility and the exaltation of Yeshua the Messiah. You remember what he said, let this mind be in you, which was in the Mashiach Yeshua. Verse 5. Brothers and sisters of Philippi, we can say, brothers and sisters here locally right now, let this mind be in you, which was in our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And then he gave the example of the Messiah, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we talked about the sevenfold steps downward that Yeshua took, which brought about our salvation. It was necessary for God the Son in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, to come down to this world to become a man and to humble himself and to go all the way to the cross. There God punished him, the just, for the unjust, in order to bring the Philippians, you and I, to God. He was the just one. We are the unjust one. And so now, After he had this, such an amazing example in the work of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, then God highly exalted him. And you remember we read verses 9, 10, and 11, therefore God have highly exalted him. And he gave him a name which is above every name, that the name of Yeshua, the despised name, every knee should bow. Every tongue will confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, Adon, to the glory of God the Father. Such a wonderful thing. You see, humility bring an exaltation. If one exalt himself, God will humble him. And so now the Apostle Paul continue. And in the next verses, which we read today, verses 12 to 16, he now gives us three examples of three men like you and I who also learned somewhat from Yeshua, their Messiah, their Lord, their Savior. But before he gives an information about these three men, namely Paul, Shaul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, Paul, a Jewish man, Timothy, whose mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile, and Epaphroditus, who was a Gentile, who was a goy from the nations of the world. He brings an example from the Hebrew of the Hebrews, namely Paul, with Timothy and Epaphroditus, three men who were part of a redeemed company, and he gives an example how it is possible, with the Lord's help, to be an example. But before he talks about these three men, himself, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, he's requesting, he's desiring humility from the brothers and sisters in the local assembly in Philippi. And he desires humility and meekness from you and from me. And he's writing to them, notice in verses 12 to 16, and he says in verse 12, he says, wherefore? Wherefore, it always takes us back to what happened before. Therefore, wherefore, because of the example that we have in our Lord Jesus the Messiah, in our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, wherefore, he says, my beloved, verse 12, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I'm sorry to say that many times I heard so many views about this verse. People say, you see, you have to work out for your salvation. In order to be saved, you got to work. You see, it's not only God sent the Messiah, Yeshua, to die for you on the tree, on the cross to save you, but you need to do something yourself in order to have salvation. But beloved brothers and sisters, read the text. Look at the words. Know the whole counsel of God through his word. He doesn't say he work out for your own salvation. But he says work out the existing salvation that you already have. You see, if you look to chapter 1 again in verse 1. Paul said, when he was writing this letter, he said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Yeshua the Messiah, to all the saints in the Messiah Yeshua, which are in Philippi, with the overseers and the servants. He called them saints, set apart for God. You cannot be half saint and half not. You cannot be set apart for God, a person that had been already redeemed or half redeemed. You either belong to the Lord or you not belong to the Lord. And that's why he's saying to them, he's calling them, notice in chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, beloved brothers and sisters of the local assembly at Philippi, how much more now in my absence work it out, your salvation, which you already have with fear and with trembling. In other words, what he's really saying here in this verse 12 to these saints in Philippi, he says, I want you to work out, I want you to perform, I want you to achieve an outcome of your salvation. If you are saved And you belong to Him. If you are saints, chapter 1 and verse 1, will work it out in your lives. Work it out among yourselves. You see, he was talking collectively to the whole local assembly. And apparently, there were frictions. Like sometimes we have friction between each other. There were misunderstandings, like sometimes we have today, whether it is here locally or many places, in many congregations and church groups, where you have friction among the people of God. They are saints, they belong to the Lord, but it's another thing, it is to work it out, to live together as saints, to bear with one another, to help each other. And so he's telling them, work out what you already have. You are saved, you are redeemed, you are saint, but prove it in your lives as you gather together, as you meet with each other. How do we conduct ourselves with one another? So he doesn't tell them, work out for your salvation, but he says, work out the salvation that you already have, but do it with fear and with trembling. What does that mean? You know, we have to deal with God. I mean, is God real in our lives? We cannot be believers that carelessly conduct ourselves towards one another. It's terrible to see believers fight. Believers hurt each other. Don't have the reverence to the Lord, the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence towards the things of God. Except God is not pleased with it. And you know what? God disciplined his own children. He disciplined his own people. And that's why there ought to be a respect and reverence to the Lord in our dealing with each other. There gotta be a respect and honor to the Lord and also in the way that we deal with each other. Now, notice that he says in the next verse, in verse 13, he says, listen, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. You see, it's not a matter of up and down in a believer's life. It's an in and out. God works in us. And he wants to work in us his own good pleasure, not our own pleasure, but his good pleasure in the lives of the believers. And so he's saying, you notice how quickly we learn here, where he says, work out your salvation with fear and trouble, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not our pleasure, but his good pleasure. You know, in a relationship in the Philippian local assembly, apparently they must have had some friction among some of the believers there. And instead of gently and graciously dealing with each other, apparently there must have been some problems. Later on you'll find out that he was mentioning there were apparently some two sisters in chapter 4, Eodias and Cynthias. He asked for them to have the same mind in the Lord. Apparently it's not only the brothers who sometimes fight, sometimes the sisters are having disagreement and an argument with each other and discomfort with each other. And he's just looking at the local assembly, the local congregation, and he says, listen, God worked in you. Notice he was, God works in you both to will, but not also to will, also to do of his good pleasure. You know, God wants to do something in the life of his own people. He didn't only save us so we will have a ticket to go to heaven and we can do what we want here in this world. No, he saved us so that we will live for him and be a testimony for him in this world. And specifically when we relate to each other. You know, we are part of a family. All believers are part of the family of God. It's just like a natural family. You know, you have husband and wife and children. And if the children are bickering, always fighting with each other. And if the husband and wife don't treat each other in the right way, it destroyed the whole testimony of a good, healthy family. Now, does that mean that the children are not the children of the parents because they fight with each other? Of course not. Does that mean that the husband and the wife are not married because they argue? Of course not. They are still married, they are still family, they are still part of this unit. But it sure is better when there is harmony among this family. There's a blessing among the people of God in a local assembly. And so he's saying to them, God is working both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, this expression, his good pleasure. If you just turn for a second to Hebrews chapter 13, look what the writer to the Hebrews said to the Hebrew believers in chapter 13 and verse 20 and verse 21. He said to them, in verse 20, now the God of peace, Elohei HaShalom, Elohim Elohei HaShalom, that brought again from the dead our Lord Yeshua, this great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you mature, perfect, to every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Yeshua the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, the Philippians were mostly Gentile believers, and the Hebrew believers were both part of the family of God, but both needed to be exhorted to seek to do the pleasure of the Lord. And you remember what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And notice verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, he says, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among his brethren. You see what God really wants? He wants that you and I will be conformed to the image of Yeshua the Messiah. And we have to ask ourselves the question many times, am I like the Messiah Yeshua in some small way? And that's what he's exhorting the Philippians to do. God wants to work his good pleasure that you and I will be conformed to the image of his son. So now he's telling them, notice in verse 14, and after he says, work out your own salvation, God is working in you to do his good pleasure. Then he says in verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Oh, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. How many times, if I don't do it publicly, I do it privately, murmuring and disputing. Somebody say that murmuring is an emotional complaint and that disputing is a mental complaint. In Hebrew, we call it tlunot and mezimot. Leitlonen means to complain, to murmur. This is the history of our forefathers as well in biblical time. You can just read how many times our people of Israel have murmured. There was no water, they murmured. There was no bread, they murmured. They murmured against Moses, against Aaron, against God. And it's not only our people Israel. Believers in these days are just much the same, murmuring and complaining about the things that you and I are able to do so. And he's saying, listen, brethren, he's saying to them, do all things, don't murmur. Don't always murmur. Don't always complain. Not always disputing. You know, disputing, it's almost like in order to cause a friction and a problem. Why? What benefit to the Lord and to the Lord's people is that we are murmuring and we are disputing always? Why not take the wrong like our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah? When he was reviled, he reviled not against, but committed unto him that judges righteously. Why we have so many problems is because we have constant murmuring, constant disputation. Paul wrote to the Corinthian in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, and he said to the Corinthian believers, he said, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmur and were destroyed of the destroyer. It's a terrible thing to murmur constantly. And he says, listen, do all things without murmuring, without disputing. I remember when I was studying the book of Genesis and how there was a disputation between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham. And you know, Abraham was a man of God. And you know what he said to Lot? Avraham Avinu. He says, Lot, let us not fight. We are brethren. Anachnu achim. We are brethren. You want to go to the right? Go there. I'll go to the left. You want to go to the left? I'll go to the right. Let us not murmur. Let us not complain. Let us not fight. What a beautiful example. Abraham was, you might say, Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham, was molded by God to become his servant. That's why he's called the father of all believers. What an example we have with Abraham. And Shaul Paul is going to show us here about himself and about Timothy and Epaphroditus in a moment. But he's giving, first of all, requests from the brothers and sisters in the local assembly in Philippi. He says, brethren, listen, do all things without murmuring and without disputation or disputing. And then he says in verse 15, we are called to give a testimony to the world around us. You see, he says in this verse 15, he said that ye may be blameless and harmless children of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You see, he's telling to the brothers and sisters in Philippi, listen, you are living in the midst of this world. And the only Yeshua that the world can see is in you, the way you behave, brothers and sisters of the city of Philippi. And if you have disputation and murmuring and fighting and exalting yourself and not being humble as before the Lord, you see you are not going to be able to give a testimony to this world, as he's calling it, a crooked and perverse generation. And no wonder people look at the believers in many ways, when they behave like this, they say, you first deal with your own problem. Don't tell me about this Yeshua, this Jesus, if you yourself don't be in set an example for me.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.